Wicked Anime is presented by the Nerdy Show Podcast Network, geeky programming for all nerds and otaku across the multiverse. All Nerdy Show programming is made possible by A Comic Shop, Orlando's number one comic shop and nerd destination, and with the generous support of listeners like you. To learn how you can support this and other wicked awesome geek programming, visit nerdyshow.com. The Wicked Anime Podcast. It is episode 95. I am a hard man with harder opinions, Andrew.
Happy birthday, Andrew.
Happy birthday, Jonathan.
Hey.
And by the way, you are the stupid awesome analyst, Jonathan.
Yes, I am.
And joining us on this episode today is King Baby Duck Evan.
Hello.
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 He's got his own little icon now. I drew it.
Yes, I do. Thank you so much for making that. It looks so cool in it.
Oh, yeah, you bet. I'm glad you like it.
I feel like you look like an Armacron character, which is a good thing.
Do.
It's a good thing.
Yeah.
And
I look like Tommy Knott's cooler brother.
Yeah, right.
And also joining us, we have Jared the Greek.
Hey, everybody.
Woo.
My throat sounds like this.
And Kagami.
Hi, good morning from sunny Los Angeles.
Yeah. And they're both from Scarlet Rhapsody.
That is right.
They will be joining us today because
our cohorts and friends from Scarlet Rhapsody in the media.
And they're going to talk to us a little bit later about Otakon. That's where they were, and we're jealous because we were not there.
Yeah, I am really jealous that I wasn't at Otakon.
Never been to an Otakon yet.
I know.
So that's like on our to-do list. We have to do another. We have to do Anime Expo, and we have to do Otakon.
Yeah, there's got to be just a year of where we hit all the big events, and then we die.
Were you guys at Anime Expo as well?
Yeah, we were at Anime Expo. Our con report and podcast for that is up. But if you're going to do Anime Expo, just try it once. I would definitely recommend it. I do have like some critiques about Anime Expo, but Otakon is a great one to hit up.
Yeah.
Nice. Okay. Cool.
Cool. Actually, what I got from that was just like Anime Expo is good, you know, but Otakon's fun. So
yes.
Yeah, there's
yes,
that.
Entirely.
Nice.
And plus some Anime Expo is like the only con where I know where you have to pay extra if you want to see concerts and if you want to see industry panels. Like for example, when Kill la Kill was out there a couple of years ago, you had to pay like an extra like fee to attend those panels.
Oh my gosh.
When Jam Project and they had like all these bands for the Anisong World event, you had to pay like, well, depending what seats you wanted, you had to pay like an extra fee of $25 to about $65 if you wanted
what?
To see that kind of, yes.
Jeez.
Wow.
All right.
Hey, before we ring the news bell, I have some news.
Do you?
That I want to share.
Oh?
I'm getting married.
Yay!
Yay!
John's
Yay!
Engaged.
Yeah, I proposed to the anime noob.
Yeah, Christine. Anime noob, Christine.
And we're getting married.
Eventually, 2 years.
She arm wrestled me for the ring.
Yeah, I know.
That's a true story.
That is a true story, and that's how you're telling it.
Yeah.
Cool. Congratulations to you.
Okay, let's ring the news bell.
News.
Yay.
All right. So, first up in media news, what we have is this one came from Cap, our producer from Nerdy Show, and he sent us this very important email about a press release from Viz Media, who just announced recently that they are licensing two new mangas, or actually, sorry, one of them is not new, and that would be Super Mario Adventures, an old classic Nintendo manga.
There was
I used to read that in my Nintendo Power.
Yeah, and they're Viz
Wait,
Media.
Those little Nintendo Power comics are based on a manga?
Yeah.
Yes.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
I did not know that.
So Viz Media got the license to that, and it's coming out at the end of this year, I believe.
Is this going to be like a nostalgia slap in the face?
Probably. Yeah, the artwork for it is very old Super Mario Brothers, like Mario and Luigi, that actually look like Mario and Green Mario.
Do they, like, in the manga, do they look like pixels? Like, they have big pixel mustaches, big square mustaches. And... Yeah.
No, no, there actually haven't
that
been any...
That classic?
There actually haven't been any previews to the manga yet. All we got was a press release kit that had a lot of pictures to it, which is weird, because if it's been in Nintendo Power for so long, everybody already knows.
Or at least the people who read it in Nintendo Power.
Yeah.
Was it good?
Oh, yeah, it was very entertaining.
It was silly and fun, kind of like the Super Show.
Ha! The Super Show.
Nice. Oh, do they actually have, what's his name, the wrestler in the manga that's like, pasta! You know?
No.
Lou Albano's on in it.
Yeah. There we go. The other one that Viz Media got the license to was Legend of Zelda Twilight Princess manga. And that one is coming out early 2017, I believe.
There's a Twilight Princess manga?
Yeah. Huh, well, you know how they've been collecting a whole bunch of artists to just do the entirety of the Legend of Zelda series in manga form. I have the Ocarina of Time, which has this really weird take on the story that I liked a lot, and the art is beautiful. And there's a different artist for every book. But the Ocarina of Time one was especially really good. And they did this weird, like, Aladdin sort of thing, where Link goes to Hyrule, and he just finds Princess Zelda in the courtyard amongst the people. And, I don't know, it's really weird. But also, really, it was really cute. So.
Nice.
Yeah. Viz Media's got some good stuff.
Viz Media does have some good stuff.
All right. There's a lot of great stuff.
Next up in media news, both Evan and Big Bad Shadow Man sent us this very cool piece of news about an animated Godzilla film in the works.
Yeah, what?
Yeah.
And
awesome.
The A-list studio cast that they have behind it. Evan, I it slipped my mind right now. What is the studio that's behind, like, all the people, like the script writers, the director, you know all that junk. But I know it's really good because I read the article. I just forgot.
So the Polygon Pictures is the one that's going to be releasing it. But the guy who's writing it is Gen Urobuchi, who wrote Puella Magi Madoka Magica, Psycho Pass, and this year's summer hit television series, Thunderbolt Fantasy.
That's amazing.
Weird.
Is Godzilla gonna be like a marionette puppet in the animation?
If he is, that would still be awesome. Look at what they do with Thunderbolt Fantasy. They could do it.
Yeah. Like, could you imagine just, like, you know, Godzilla wiggling around like one of those marionette puppets, you know? And then he knocks over a little papier-mâché building.
Godzilla approves.
I love it. There's also a scriptwriter attached to it that I forget who.
Well, he is the scriptwriter, but the director, Kobun Shizuno, he's the one who directed Fist of the North Star, The Legend of Kenshiro, The Legend of Toki, and the Detective Conan movie, The Darkest Nightmare.
What?
I gotta say that Fist of the North Star, Legend of Kenshiro was probably my favorite Fist of the North Star.
Really?
It is, the first episode, at least, is so badass. So that's cool. That means we can get some badass anime Godzilla.
Oh, Godzilla and doing some Hokuto Shinken.
Okay, so actually there are two directors. He's one of them. And the other director is Hiroyuki Seshita, who did Aijin and Knights of Sidonia.
Ooh, I don't know how I feel about that.
Maybe it'll be mostly Shizuno.
Yeah, hopefully it's the earlier half.
I'm really looking forward to it. I hope that we get to see it. Also, going on this trend of movies, we've been talking about so many live-action movies on this show recently. I mean, we have a couple more in media news that I want to talk about.
No, this is an animation show. What is wrong?
Well, and this also pertains to something else that we're going to talk about later.
Yes, it does.
Nobody talk about it because I don't want to spoil anything. You've all seen the itinerary for the show, and I don't want anybody to talk about it just yet. But in this moment in time, they are organizing a live-action Bleach movie in Japan slated for 2018.
Bleach, it's not over yet.
Yeah,
it
no,
will never be over.
It will never, ever be over.
It will never actually be over. So it's over, but it will never actually... Even though the writer, what's his name? Muto or...
Kubo.
Kubo. He's totally given up on it.
Yeah.
We're going to talk about this much later.
I already said we don't want to talk about it yet.
I know,
it's impossible to go ahead.
So
it's totally
exciting.
Impossible. Go ahead.
Like, I don't even want to say the fans won't let it die because the fans just want it to die.
According to Tumblr,
yeah, it's
the definitely want it to die now.
It's the studios that are just like, we gotta do something else with Bleach. Oh.
We gotta squeeze this orange until we get every last drop of juice.
But it's already so dry.
Squeeze in order.
Keep squeezing.
The cow is dead. The cow is dead.
We've squeezed all the white out of that cow. Oh, man.
So, yeah, live-action Bleach movie. I really hope that it's based off of the first season.
If it's just based off of the first season, that would be really cool. But knowing Japan and their movies, it's going to be the first season and the second season and mashed together in, an hour and a half, where the last half hour is the Soul Society. And then, yeah. Actually, no, Japanese movies usually tend to drag on, so they're probably going to do a whole
It'll be
boring extra hour.
Yeah, it'll be in an hour too long.
Yeah.
It'll just be the first season.
Yeah.
I just hope it's based off the Takarazura plays, because that's really the best version of Bleach.
Nice.
I'm not familiar with that.
Yeah, well, I'm hoping that they get a director of a tokusatsu show, somebody who has done a Kamen Rider or something like that, so that the special effects are top-notch. Seriously.
Yeah.
I'm
with you on that.
Yeah, I think that a tokusatsu director of any kind would be perfect for a Bleach movie.
Yeah. No, I agree.
But over in the land of America, we also have another live-action movie that was announced, and John had mentioned it, Taka. He mentioned it on the last episode briefly, and we didn't really get into it all in all details. But we have more details now. So let's talk about the live-action Pokemon movie that we're going to be getting, starring Detective Pikachu.
Really?
Yeah. Now, here's the big news that I'm super excited about. Alex Hirsch, the writer of Gravity Falls, is writing it. And so
it's gonna be good.
Yeah, and so is Nicole Perlman, and she wrote drafts of the script to Guardians of the Galaxy and the Sherlock Holmes movies, like the Robert Downey Jr. Sherlock Holmes.
Yeah,
yeah.
You see, you know what would be great if they cast Kristen Schaal as Detective Pikachu's partner.
That would be interesting.
I could see it. I could definitely see it. But if it were that, like. I don't know how I feel about animated Detective Pikachu being on the screen with live-action person, because then we're just getting into the realm of Rocky and Bullwinkle live-action movie, and I don't want that.
What about Roger Rabbit?
What's wrong with the live-action Rocky and Bullwinkle movie? I liked it.
Oops, we triggered.
Yeah, triggered.
Sorry.
Don't worry, Evan. My dad is a huge fan of that. He's also a huge fan of Twilight and...
No.
He's a huge fan of Beautiful Creatures.
Listen, I kid you not. I actually have plushies of Rocky, Bullwinkle, Boris, and Natasha right with all my anime DVD collection stuff.
There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong with that at all.
It's the live-action
movie. It's the live-action movie that we're talking about, Evan.
And I like the live-action movie. I like some of the... You see, I feel like you really had to watch all of the show to understand the movie.
Right. I did watch the show.
I get that. But, there was nothing wrong with the Dudley Do-Right movie with Brendan Fraser. And there was nothing wrong with the Brendan Fraser George of the Jungle movie either. Yeah. Brendan Fraser
The George of the Jungle movie was perfect.
Yeah.
Yes, it was.
They got everything right with that movie.
But Dudley Do-Right was my favorite in that series.
Maybe we should get the guys who did Dudley Do-Right and George of the Jungle to do a live-action
movie.
Movie.
Yeah.
And then they can have a, giant... puppeteered mechanical apes talking like the Pokemon.
Yeah.
Played by John Cleese.
Played by John Cleese.
Even better, it would interrupt the middle of the movie to do a Who's That Pokemon?
Oh, that would be amazing.
Oh, goodness.
That's such a good idea, Jared.
Although, I imagine that in this case, it would be more satirical, and it's going to be Kristen Schaal walking down the street. And there's going to be a Pokemon, silhouetted out in the window of a pet shop store. And she's just going to go, who's that Pokemon? And then...
Yeah.
And that's how it would go. Knowing Alex Hirsch and his satire.
Who does Willem Dafoe play in this movie?
Yeah.
Mewtwo.
He plays Mewtwo. That would be perfect.
Oh, man.
Could you imagine delivering that line, I now know what humanity is, or, like, life is not
I kinda
a gift, it's what you do with
I kind of see
gift.
Mewtwo as more of a Benedict Cumberbatch, though. Just saying.
No.
Actually, no, you're right.
Oh. Wait.
I can see Benedict Cumberbatch as Mewtwo.
Fans.
True, Mewtwo
okay,
doesn't
yes,
emote.
I can see that.
All right, fans, who would you prefer to see in the role of Mewtwo? It doesn't have to be just Benedict Cumberbatch or Willem Dafoe. Who else would you cast as Mewtwo in the live-action Pokemon movie?
Fan shout-out.
Idris Elba.
Idris Elba. That's a good one.
Oh, my
gosh. That's a really good one.
Yeah, actually, I agree with that.
Wait, which one?
Idris Elba.
Oh, yeah.
That would be amazing.
Well, Idris Elba's just amazing in anything, so, oh, my gosh, that sounds great.
No, you know, I don't think that we should have Christian Schaal, in that case, be Detective Pikachu's partner. It should be Charlie Hunnam.
So that we can get the blandest.
You just want another planet, a Pacific Rim.
Yeah. So that he can say something sincere and shake his head.
Yeah. Say it sincere and shake your head.
Say it sincere and shake your head.
I can't believe that they got 5 seasons of Sons of Anarchy doing
they got
that.
Like 6.
No, they got 5.
Yeah,
okay.
I watched all of Sons of Anarchy, and it was after like 4 seasons, I caught on to Charlie Hunnam's game, and I was like, wow, he can't act. And then I saw and then I saw Pacific Rim again, and I was just like, oh my gosh, he's doing the same thing.
At least there's robots in this movie.
Yeah.
Say it sincere and shake your head.
Oh my gosh.
But we digress.
I was like, it went from me being completely like, I am so against this, to, you know what? This could actually be awesome.
Yes.
I know.
That's right. Yeah. Okay, so that's it for media news. A lot of movies that are happening, which I'm super happy about because I love movies.
Can I kick off gaming news with what Gerardo sent us? Because I wasn't here last week, so I couldn't speak on it.
Okay,
so it's
sure.
kind of old news. I know we have a lot of Monster Hunter fans amongst us as the crowd.
It doesn't matter. You're going to talk about it anyway.
I know. Yeah, it doesn't matter. But so Monster Hunter Stories has been in production for quite a while, and we finally got a Monster Hunter trailer, or Monster Hunter Stories live action trailer, and actually a bunch of fans sent this, because a bunch of fans that, and it's our Monster Hunter fans, so I got it from Tempsu, I got it from Gerardo, but they shot me over the story trailer for Monster Hunter, and it seems really cool, because there's actually a story, which has never happened in Monster Hunter before. It's always been, you know, talk to somebody, go fight a monster. But so this one, it seems like all the characters talk gibberish, because even they had little Japanese subtitles in the trailer, for the Japanese trailer, so they all speak this weird little blah blah language.
Do you know that for sure?
I don't, but it didn't sound like Japanese.
So what if they just did it for, like, you know how those Facebook videos now, they're all silent, but they still play anyway, so everything has subtitles so that you can get interested in it faster? Maybe that's what they did.
Maybe, but I actually watched it, and, like, it didn't sound like they were speaking Japanese, because it was just, I don't recognize that dialect.
Did it kind of sound like the fake made-up language in The Devil is a Part-Timer?
I have not seen The Devil is a Part-Timer.
I thought you did.
No, but a weird fake made-up language was one that they had in Gargantia. Susanoo Gargantia.
And The Sims.
So anyway, the new trailer introduced that, yes, there is character customization available for us, which is great, because that's a staple to the Monster Hunter series. You have to have a customized character. And they showed us a crap ton of monsters now. Before, we only had a handful of monsters, and now they show us a Devil Joe. Like, holy crap, you can capture and ride a Devil Joe. And holy crap, there's a Stygian and Ogre. And then, oh my gosh, there's Narukuga armor. I'm probably guessing that this only means something to me in this conversation, but everybody else...
Kind of.
Yeah, but just know that I'm very excited about it, and you should be excited about it, too. That's all.
Okay, so on to some gaming news that everybody here will care about.
Well, maybe. I might not care.
I don't know if you guys are caring about virtual reality or VR stuff, but...
Oh, yeah.
I like VR.
Yeah, but Hatsune Miku is joining the VR universe for either Oculus Rift or HTC Vive, and they created this game called Hatsune Miku VR Future. It's coming out on October 13th. That's really soon.
It's now, actually coming out for a PlayStation VR.
Is it coming out
for the Morpheus project?
Yeah.
Is it called Project Morpheus anymore?
No,
it's just PlayStation VR.
Okay.
Which is a weird thing, because they didn't give it a cool name. Project Morpheus was a cool name, but it was to, like, hide the project, and everybody knew what it was.
Yeah.
And then when they released it, it's just like, why not just name it
Morpheus? Oh, PlayStation VR!
Yeah.
That's planned.
That's so cool! It's like PlayStation Move.
I'm gonna get a Rift anyway. Or I want a Rift.
So, it's a game where... It's not even a game, really. It's just, like, one of those virtual reality experiences, like...
Where you try to look... Like, under Miku's skirt.
actually, this was addressed by the developers.
Oh my gosh.
And there is actually no way to actually look under her skirt while playing the game.
And they've already said
that. Then I'm completely out.
Yeah.
If I have sex with her, there's no point for this VR.
And 100% of the internet would agree with you, Jared.
Yay.
There are so many people dropping out of buying this game.
Even the developers of the game are like, nope, I drop out. I don't even want to get paid anymore.
They're probably the only ones who have ever seen it. No, apparently there's a feature in the game where if you try to look under her skirt, a black shadow appears.
Really?
Yep. Either that or her model is just textured so that there's a black cloud under there, you know, so like it's shadowed over naturally. Which they actually...
Yeah, there's medications to help with that.
Yeah, right? Actually, if you look under her skirt, the game kill screens, and then, like, it sends you into, like, a seizure attack, because it's just, like, flashing lights into your Morpheus eyes. It's like, ah!
Well, it could just freeze the game beforehand, and for anybody who doesn't know VR, if a VR headset freezes on screen, your brain thinks that there's something wrong with you personally as a human, and you just vomit.
Yeah.
So...
it does. Your brain doesn't understand that it's not reality.
It thinks that your world has frozen completely. And it's like, uh oh, there's something wrong with your body. I am going to projectile.
I will save you.
I'll save you, body. And then the emotions in your head hit a big red button, and you just vomit everywhere.
Projectile.
Because, yeah, to try to reset your brain. But anyways, the game seems kind of interesting, because, Evan, you remember when we went to that Oculus Rift event at MIT one time, and there was just these developers there? Their entire project was just you sitting in the middle of the forest and watching leaves fall from the sky.
Yes.
That's kind of what this experience is, except a little bit more. You get to watch...
I know. I've seen it being demoed at E3. Actually, it was there a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
What, Miku?
Yeah, you get to...
Yeah,
you
Miku get was to, there.
You get to watch entire concerts of her... You know, of her perform, but you also have the option to like pause it, edit the background, edit clothing, and then you could also,
if you edit clothing, is there a swimsuit option? Because that might be a great.
I don't know. They didn't really go into it. They didn't really go into it that much.
They're just like, I don't need a Sierra panty. She's in a swimsuit. Oh my goodness, weed games.
But like, I guess there's you can also go backstage and you can watch the concert from any angle except lying on the floor.
What about front stage? Front stage center looking up. Come on!
Yeah, below the stage.
Oh my gosh. That's like all this game has come down to is, can you see your panties? Like, yep. Like every single way, it's just like, there's gotta be a bug. So I know they modeled them. I know they modeled her panties. There's gotta be a bug somewhere in some position in some angle of the game where you get to see them.
Yeah, it's called Tumblr.
Yeah.
Here's the funny thing with VR. As soon as it gets to the point that modders can start screwing around with the games, all hell's going to break loose.
Oh, yeah. See, oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And see, that's why I want a Rift so much more than I want a PlayStation VR. It's because the Rift is so open source and there's so many free games for the Rift that it's just, why would you want to purchase a headset for your PlayStation 4? Plus, you need, like, a 4.5, don't you?
Nope. It runs on the regular one. The only difference between the PlayStation 4 and the 4.5 is that it can run in 4K.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
That's it.
Either way, there's so much less open source and modding on a PS4 that you should just get a Rift so that you can play, like, a library of an infinite amount of games that are moddable.
And free.
Yeah, and free. Even though the Rift kind of has its own issues, like, it has that, like, attached to Facebook thing, so it kind of, like, tells you what you're playing if you don't want... Well, at least that's what's speculated. It's still a neater idea, but they're both very expensive. They are both a Rift and a VR. Very expensive, so... Yep.
So, next up, I have one more gaming news
Stick
piece.
To Google Cardboard.
Yeah. I have one more gaming news piece, and... It is based on the continuing downward spiral of Konami.
hey, drive it into the ground! Now, just to let my listeners know, I did talk about this on my recent episode of No Borders, No Race.
You did.
But go ahead.
You talked about the trailer for Metal Gear Survive?
Yep.
Okay.
We talked about it on my live stream as well.
Did you? I don't know
anything about it. And I had to make a note that I recorded it before Jim Sterling did a Jimquisition, because odds are Jim Sterling will have this in his Fuck Konami News segment.
Yeah, so Metal Gear Survive, the trailer that we have, it takes place at the end of Metal Gear Ground Zeroes. So at the end of Metal Gear Ground Zeroes, your base is destroyed, or Snake's base is destroyed, and you get away in a helicopter. But in the beginning of this trailer,
did you say Snake? I thought it was Big Boss.
Whatever.
Yeah, it's a Big Boss.
They're literally the same person.
Yeah.
he's flying off in a helicopter, but in the trailer to Survive, they leave the camera on the island, and all your subordinates that you capture during Ground Zeroes are still there, and they're like, what the heck, man? You're killing us. And then suddenly, a rift opens up in the sky and sucks everything into an alternate universe.
And it turns into a pachinko machine?
Metal Gear Survive is an alternate universe where you play as the subordinates of Ground Zero. So characters that are literally cannon fodder. And you play a zombie survival game.
What?
Metal Gear Survive is a zombie survival game. Now, granted, this trailer looked kind of cool. Right? Did anybody agree with me on that? Does this trailer
look kind of cool? It kind of looked cool.
Okay, listen.
But Kojima is rolling in his grave even though he's still alive.
Yeah. He's directing. So the trailer, the directing was great. The creature designs were cool. On the standpoint of a Metal Gear game, absolute utter garbage. Waste of life, waste of time, go die in a fire.
It's going to be their Umbrella Corps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty much.
Yeah, it is.
And I don't know. I just don't understand what brought them to this. Like, they
money, money. We need more money.
But that's
I can
it.
Actually, I have this recording of the meeting. Guys, zombie games are still popular, right? I don't know. Cool. Let's make a zombie game. And that's literally the recording of the.
And that's
the
it.
Meeting.
Yeah.
Well, and I'm sure
we have this license that was popular once, but we're not doing anything with
it. It's gonna suck because Konami's gonna turn into like an Activision type, where they're just like, what can we milk out of this one title that everybody knows? I don't know. Make a random game and put Metal Gear in front of it and people will buy it.
And zombies, apparently.
Yeah, and zombies. Like, oh my gosh, Call of Duty, you're such a waste of space. Activision is such a waste of space. And get out of my gaming industry.
And now Konami is too, I guess.
Oh, poor Konami. Yeah. Somebody else has got to get the rights to Silent Hill.
Yeah.
That is like the most tragic loss out of all of Konami.
Kojima? Once he makes all of his new monies with his own production company, I bet you he'll go and he'll buy the rights to that series.
I hope he does, because Silent Hill is one of my favorite game series of all time, and the fact that Konami is just like, oh, we'll make pachinko machines out of it, and then...
Because when I think horror and psychological torments of characters, I think pachinko.
Yeah. Hit the lever!
Oh no, it's Pyramid Head. He's still sexy, but he's dropping your coins.
He's like.
Has anybody here played pachinko before?
Yes. Yeah, I actually got to play it at Anime Boston.
It's awful.
It is. I actually played it in Niigata at a hot spring about 9 years ago. I don't get it.
Yeah. I know, it's not fun. It doesn't make any sense. It's like, oh, apparently I just scored points.
Yeah,
There's something happening on the screen.
And it was funny because when we were playing Anime Boston, it's just like, oh, I'm out of coins. Oh, you're giving me more coins? When is it going to stop?
Yeah, you're giving me free silver balls
torture.
To put back in. You're giving me free silver balls to put back into the machine? No, thank
you.
Yeah,
I don't want them.
Stop! Stop!
Make it stop!
I've been here for a half hour on $2. I want to go home.
Oh man!
And then you end playing pachinko.
Yep, that is a very accurate pachinko playing experience right there. Now just close your eyes and listen to that audio of us playing it.
Yeah.
and add some anime sound effects depending on which type of pachinko mission you're playing, and you're playing pachinko.
I got to play Evangelion.
Yeah, we played Evangelion, and there was a Gundam one next to us.
Yeah.
I'm glad we chose the Evangelion one, because then we could at least
it was interesting. Okay, so it's time for some strange news.
Yes, finally.
I only have one thing for strange news.
Is it strange?
Kind of.
Okay.
It's all right. We got great stuff ahead.
We do.
There was this advertisement campaign going on Twitter where people have been taking, like, actual advertising companies, like real advertising companies, have been taking the poster for the new Godzilla film, and they've been using it for product placement, putting products in Godzilla's arms, like having him hold either, like there's the one main one that they put up on Twitter was him holding all these windows, and like it was an advertiser that's like, what are we gonna do with all these windows, you know, and Godzilla's just up there holding them, and then there's one where they hung a camera around his neck like a tourist, and it was they've just been taking this one poster and they've been doing all this product placement for it, and it's legit advertising.
Godzilla approves.
Yeah.
But how could he use the camera when his arms can't reach up to his face?
They can, though. He can, right? I mean,
well, maybe it's a digital camera. He doesn't. Maybe that's the advertiser. It's like, it doesn't have to go up to your face. You just take the picture. Just free shoot. Shoot from the hip! That's as strange as
it gets. I approve, though.
Hey, let's,
what are we talking about first? Because I know, do we have a fetish of the week?
We do have a fetish of the week.
Let's do a fetish of
the
week.
It's time for Japan's Fetish of the Week!
Yeah! So what is it this week?
So this one is not necessarily a fetish, but I found this beauty product that is supposed to, I don't know, quote unquote, make you more attractive?
What?
What's the history with pointy noses in Japan? You see it in anime all the time, which
see
I think
it in Escaflowne.
Yeah, which is just in more of like an advertising thing. I know that when they do cartoon characteristics of Americans, they make them with really pointy noses, and I think it's like a caricature, a cartoon aspect, almost if they're pointing, pointing fun, making fun of us. There's this new product that they just came out with in Japan, which helps Asian people have more pointy noses. It's this little strip of plastic that kind of looks like one of those contraceptive things.
Oh, gross.
except it's for your nose. It's a little plastic.
So, like, you hook it
spring
into your
nose? You stick it inside your nose, and it follows the bridge of your nose, and it pushes out your nose further so that it makes it look more pointy.
That,
I'll link to the article. It was obviously
that
sounds
like it hurts.
Yeah, right? That's what I was wondering. It's like, what if you accidentally get hit in the nose or something like that with your wearing it? Suddenly you're going to have two pieces of plastic sticking out of the front of your...
I think this is a stranger, strange news story than that Godzilla one.
Yeah.
Even though it's like a fetish of the week.
Yeah. Well, that's fine, because we're going in that order.
Yeah, I know.
But, yeah, I don't know, like...
Welcome to crossover of
I never
of the
thought,
week in strange news.
I never thought that there was a problem with Asian noses, ever.
I guess they have a lot of self-esteem issues.
Probably. I don't know. But
if we have any Japanese listeners that understand us...
Have you ever looked at your nose and said, I wish it was more pointy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, don't do that.
Legit.
Asian noses are beautiful.
Yeah, have you ever... You know the gesture that whenever a Japanese person refers to themselves, they point at their nose?
They point to their nose.
Now, there's no real origin to this, as in the same way that when, like, we talk about ourselves, we tend to put our hands on our chest.
Yeah, we put our hand... Or we point to our chest.
We point to our chest, or we put the flat palm to our chest, say, me. Like, I. You know? But Japanese specifically, not all Asians. Japanese specifically point at their nose, and that's because it is the center of their being. Like, the face is the most center point, you know, and they point at the nose, which is the center, which is a focal point, right? Mm. You know, so they point at the nose in order to do that. So I guess the nose to them is very important, and it has to be, you know, perfect in a way. So,
well, think about it from this way, though. On your example of putting your hand on your chest, that's where your heart is.
Yep.
And usually in Western culture, the heart is the center of your being.
Yeah, that's true.
That's very true. But then also, nowadays, in a philosophical being, you should point at your forehead because that's where your brain is, and that's who your person is.
You know,
that's your pilot.
That is true.
Well, the heart is like the soul, kind of. So, like, that's where your soul being is, and then your brain is your conscious being. So.
There's a lot of spiritual and physical stuff going into this conversation right now.
It
and that is not sexy. That was Japan's Fetish of the Week!
We're getting too spiritual here. Let's just end it right now.
Intellectual discourse, screw that.
Hey, let's take a trip over into the west.
Into the west? Alright.
So, I don't know where this is coming or sanctioned from, because everybody knows in history that DC animated films are way better than their theatrical films.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That is fact, and there is no one who will argue
against
that.
Yeah, by the way, everybody laughed at that comment. I think yeah. It's all
I think it's very true.
I'm sorry, but I will still take Batman having sex with Batgirl over the recent Batman vs. Superman movie.
You know, I may have to agree with you on that one. As much as I'm totally against it, I am too,
but I will still take that over Batman v. Superman.
I will watch Animated Killing Joke any day of the week over Suicide Squad.
Ooh, oh my gosh, did you guys see Suicide Squad, by the way?
Nah, we didn't have a chance to watch it, but yeah. We'll probably just wait for it to come out on, like, Netflix or something.
On free.
Yeah. Watch it anywhere free because it was an atrocity. Like, we went to see it in the theater with a bunch of our friends, and by the end of the movie, we were all kind of in agreement, like, yeah, we've had enough, and then we just started laughing at the movie for the rest of it. It was awful. It was awful.
Well, see, the problem is, when you say that to someone like me, I mean, I'm a person who went into the theaters to see Independence Day 2, Ooh. Just to riff it.
Yeah. See, well,
I spent the entire time making Macross jokes and bromance jokes.
So, the best part, I think the best job that they did in Suicide Squad was making Will Smith not look like he was on his Skype computer. It was amazing.
Yeah.
He was, oh my gosh.
They digitally took his face off of Skype and they put it onto an actor who was in a Deadshot costume.
Yeah, it was great. Yeah. It was great.
Phoned in that performance so hard.
Yeah. And Harley Quinn was
awful. Everybody was like, no, you got to see the movie in order to see how Harley Quinn is. No, she is she is as cringeworthy as she was in the trailers.
Yeah, it's the whole movie is cringeworthy. And I thought, I was like, no, I'll be able to get over that as long as the movie's good. It's not.
It's not good.
So, and like the whole movie kicks off, like they're starting off like, oh, we're going to put together this team because, yeah, Superman was good, but what if another Superman comes and he's evil? Harley Quinn with a baseball bat, of course.
Yeah, she'll solve that problem.
What? Oh my gosh, the movie was bad. Don't see it.
You know what also makes no sense? There was an evil Superman that showed up.
Yeah.
In Man of Steel. It's happened already. There's precedence.
Exactly.
Zod.
I'm just very convinced that Man of Steel is like, what if Bizarro happened?
Now, animated movies.
Yes, move on to Into the West.
DC animated movies. They announced their next one, which has anybody seen the announcement for Batman, The Return of the Caped Crusader?
No.
The one with Adam West and Burt Ward and Julie Newmar.
It is an animated Batman Adam West movie.
Are you serious?
Yes. Yeah. And they're bringing it back. Like, and they actually got Adam West, Burt Ward, and who was the one who played
Julie
Catwoman?
Newmar, the second Catwoman.
They're casted in this movie, animated film. And so here's the thing. I did not find any information as to whether or not this was actually like Bruce Timm produced.
Right.
Or DC, but it's a DC film. So I don't know who sanctioned it or where it's coming from, but I mean, it is still a DC film. I don't know, you know, what's going to be happening. But I'm like super interested to find out what's going to happen because it's like,
is it like old Batman suit and everything?
Or? Yeah. Yeah.
Like, so it's fully a Adam West episode, but animated film.
Yep. And the Joker's going to be in it. The Penguin's going to be in it. The Riddler, I guess, is going to be. Was it Riddler or Two-Face?
Half those actors are dead.
Yeah.
Yes, they are. But, and that's why there were only three names in the voice acting cast that were mentioned. You know,
they're just gonna get like the modern voice actors to play them, which would be like, can you imagine?
It's all gonna be Nolan North,
Mark Hamill versus Adam West.
That would be awesome if Mark Hamill played that Joker.
And disturbing,
because I mean those Jokers are so different from one another, but
they're practically
if they got
the same age though.
But if they got, or if they got more recently, who's been the Joker in all of the new Arkham games, Troy Baker has been the Joker. Yeah.
Oh, there's been so many Jokers. It's crazy.
Yeah, and they've all done it.
Troy Baker, Richard Epcar, Mark Hamill. Mark Hamill's the best.
Clearly the best.
Mark Hamill will always be the best. In the same way that Kevin Conroy will always be the best Batman.
Yep. Right. Yeah. For sure. Or Adam West could be the best Batman. Fans, write in. Tell us who the best Batman is.
It's Kevin Conroy.
That was Into the West.
Whoa, but come on.
Yeah,
I sent you guys one other thing for Into the West.
Well, before we even get to that, I want to point out that there has been a Batman 66 comic that was going on for a while that basically was comic book continued adventures of Adam West era Batman. So really? There is some precedent for them doing this kind of stuff in the past.
I missed that.
Oh, yeah. I didn't know that at all.
Yeah.
It began as like a web, like a little web shorts, whatever you want to call them. They released it as small pieces on the web and then eventually released it as a full-on comic book for a while. They also have a Linda Carter Wonder Woman comic like that they were doing for a little bit, too.
Huh.
Very interesting.
Yeah, that is good to know. I did not know that.
Evan, what did you send me? I could have sworn that I
got
it. Well,
the thing that I sent you was, this past week, so there's this...
Oh, you're talking about Gumball!
Yes, The Amazing World of Gumball.
Oh,
they got Studio 4 degrees Celsius to animate one of the scenes in the latest episode.
Oh my gosh, and I watched it last night.
I watched
it
this morning.
2 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
How amazing was that?
It was fantastic.
Anybody who has not seen it, I will put a link in the description.
It was so amazing, and I wanted to make sure it would never go away that I ripped it. So I actually have that scene ripped on my computer now.
Yeah. And Nicole, Gumball's mom, is best anime mom now.
Yeah. If you guys haven't seen The Amazing World of Gumball on Cartoon Network, I highly recommend it because I love it. Yeah. I love Gumball.
It's one of the only still good shows on Cartoon Network.
Yeah, and it's really funny, really satirical, really sarcastic in its humor.
There was an episode this past week that was a perfect parody of the TV show True Detective. And it wasn't like one of those shows where it was like poking fun of True Detective. No, they like played the episode straight. And it was amazing.
God. Yeah, Gumball is really, really amazing at making pop culture, or not pop culture, but modern society relevant. They make fun of modern society so often that it's just laughable.
Yeah.
And so Gumball is an amazing show, and the fact that Studio 4C is on board, I'm not surprised. Especially with this beautifully animated fight scene, and it looks... It's funny because they got an anime studio to parody anime.
Yeah. Yeah, right? Yeah.
So the whole thing is a straight parody of anime.
Very self-aware.
Yeah, and an anime studio did it.
Yep.
So... But... That must have cost them, like... close to $50,000 to do.
Well, animators only cost $2 an hour, so they probably got a discount. Yeah. But even still, it is not better than Andrew W.K. and Uncle Grandpa. So. I'm just kidding. Yes, it is. I'm sorry, Andrew W.K.
But Andrew W.K. I still love you. Andrew W.K. for president.
Yeah.
Party.
Yeah. Yep.
Free pizza for all.
Okay, and that was Into the president. West.
That was...
Hey, let's talk about Otakon. How was it, guys?
Yes, you guys.
Oh, it was amazing.
Now go ahead and talk about Otakon because we were not there.
Okay, so Otakon, that took place last weekend. Jared and I went to represent Scarlet Rhapsody. So day zero, we fly in from Los Angeles. We took a connecting flight from Boston. So I went to Legal Seafoods for breakfast before checking into the hotel. So we stayed at the Radisson, which is about a couple blocks up from the actual convention center. Our buddy Ranma from Anime Jam Session decided to just book the rooms because he also takes care of his bookings for his people. And he happened to have extra rooms. Like, okay, now let's do this. So we get into the hotel, and then we pick up our press badges over at the Sheraton. And this is, just so you know, this was Otakon's last year in Baltimore, so a lot of people were feeling very nostalgic, like, yeah, this is going to be the last one here. So, you know, Otakon has been in Baltimore since 1999, and that has been as long as I've been attending conventions. I've only started attending Otakon since about 2013, so I've only gone for 4 years. But there are people here who's like, yeah, we've been here since day one when Otakon was in Baltimore. This just started in Baltimore. It's like, wow, a lot of dedicated people here.
Yeah, no kidding.
Wow.
The attendance increased this year to about 29,000 people, so a little bit under AB's numbers, I think. But it's usually Otakon, they reach around the 30,000 mark. Yep. But a lot of people, because of the heat and humidity, and honestly, this has to be like the hottest con I've ever attended. Yep. People were just inside the whole time, so it felt a lot more crowded than usual because people just wanted to be indoors, escape from the heat and humidity because it was like 100 degrees out there. No, not gonna lie. Jared, I know you did like a lot of panels at Otakon. Would you like to share some of those highlights?
God, I keep thinking of the lowlights. There were some interesting panels.
Oh, man.
Oh, no. My Saturday was horrible, guys.
Oh, my gosh.
But basically, one of the issues they had with their panels was that rooms 3 and 4 had some really interesting things, like the life and times of Hayao Miyazaki and fantasy anime throughout, all of anime, and discussions about, cultural things and various genres of anime. The rooms could hold maybe 25 people.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
What? Yeah. So you're going in and you're like, all right, I can't wait to go to this panel. Oh, there's a line. Oh, that's not that big of a deal. And the person at the table, the room's already capped. So you're going to have to wait for this many people to leave the room before you can enter the room. And so the only way to really enjoy the panel room 3 or panel room 4 panels is to essentially camp.
Yeah.
And basically say, okay, I'm going to hit this 10 o'clock panel or 9 o'clock panel where no one's really around just so I can go see this panel at noon. Because if I leave this room, I'm not getting my seat back.
That's awful. Now, okay, so just for clarity, did you say 25?
Yes.
No.
That's a tiny room.
That's small. A water cooler.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're not large rooms at all. They're very small, and they fill up really fast.
Is this one of the reasons? No kidding. Is this one of the reasons why they're moving venues?
Yes.
Where's it moving to?
It's moving to the DC Convention Center, the Walter E. Washington Convention Center, which is a couple blocks away from the White House.
Oh my gosh, that's gonna be a mess.
That's gonna be
Washington DC traffic is the worst. Oh.
And we could go next year, and then we could shake hands with President Andrew W.K. before to Otakon.
Free pizza.
I would like that.
I would like that too. I'm voting for Andrew W.K. this year. That's for sure. No politics on the show.
Right. It's not politics, it's a party.
That's right, yeah. It is, because life is a party. What about your panels, Jared?
Well, I didn't run anything, sadly. But, I was going around to various rooms, and those are all pretty decently run, actually. You don't have the incompetent panel runners like you do at some other cons. They do tend to sort those people out. Because they have staff in the rooms, so if you did last year and you did a bad job, they'll just, fire you, essentially.
Yeah.
Wow.
So, at least there was that. There was a pretty cool mecha panel where they decided to do everything up as topics. So it was like, silliest weapon, best bromance,
those
parody.
Are awesome. Yep.
They had a whole section called parody, which was about mechanic with birds in the series. And one of the ones on there, and I'm sure you guys will get this, but I don't know how many of your listeners will, was the series Silverhawks.
Oh, yeah!
And I'm like, I don't know if I consider Silverhawks a mecha series, but yeah. awesome drop on there with Silverhawks in the parody category.
Yeah, it was more of a Sentai series, if you ask me.
Kinda. It was like a mix of Sentai and Mecha.
Like Giant Robo.
Yeah,
so I guess I can kind of see it then. Like, it's in the same sense that Power Rangers was a giant robot anime. You know what I mean? Like,
and
you could swing it that way.
I guess, yeah.
And they did have Super Sentai in the list for a couple of the sections as well.
Cool.
So, yeah, you had that going down. That was a really fun panel. There was an interesting one on, the clothing in Jedi Geki films, which was... Huh. Really fascinating, and the gal who did it was full dress kimono with the face paint and everything.
Oh, snap.
And she really seemed to know her stuff. It was a really interesting panel. It was in one of the giant rooms. It maybe had 30 people.
What?
No offense to her, because she was great. It's more the point of, whoever was doing programming put some panels in the wrong rooms. I'll give a second example of one of the small rooms being utilized wrong. They did a Digimon, 50th anniversary, whatever the hell they're up to at this point. Panel. That series has been around longer than I've been alive. It really hasn't. But And they put that in one of the tiny rooms instead of one of the giant rooms. Because I guess whoever's doing programming is going like, no one cares about Digimon anymore. They're all Pokemon Go players. I'm like, no, there's still a huge amount of insane Digimon people out there who are like, I love my Digimon because the Digimon can actually talk. I'm like the stupid Pokemon that can't.
Hey, he will when he's Idris Elba.
That's true. Yes.
I actually got a sad news update that Idris Elba is playing one of the Digimon now.
Oh, man.
Traitor.
He was going to play Mewtwo.
But overall, you know, the panels are still really strong. The video rooms are huge. So you never really have the SRO kind of thing going down unless it's like the premiere of something.
Yeah.
And even then, I mean, I kind of was going to one of the premieres and then I left because I was going to do, I went to do something else called eating food. and we'll get to that when we get to anime we watched this week. But the thing that was really problematic for me was cosplay gatherings, because the way that it was so hot outside, no one wanted to do gatherings outside. And then you have these cramped hallways where you're getting way too many people and especially way too many photographers. And you can't even navigate the hallways. I'm not even talking joining the gathering, because there was a gathering I tried to go to that I couldn't. And then there's other gatherings I went to. There's like six of us, and we're like, oh. but when there was a gathering, it just like made certain places so clogged up that it's just like, claustrophobia kicking in. Need air.
So how was the dealer's room? Did you guys buy anything really cool?
Yes, I did. I actually, Kinokuniya Bookstore from New York actually came down to, like, have, a section. So, basically, I decided to buy a couple of, like, the idol-themed art books. I'm a huge Love Live fan. So they had, like, this chibi, like, all the characters from, like, the first season, like, all in chibi form. And it's just, like, this cute illustration book. And then I got the one for Love Live Sunshine. So I picked up that art book. There were a couple other things I really wanted, like Kodansha. They actually have like a Jose section to their brand now. And their line of Jose manga sold out really fast. Like, oh, dang, I should have like picked it up while I had the chance. But there's like a lot of really cool things there. Like, well, they had like a lot of Pusheen plushies. I love Pusheen. And they, it's like, oh my God, all these Pusheens. And then I also saw that they had the Esper plushies, and I love Esper from the latest Pokemon. It's like, oh my God, I want to take like a giant Esper home and freak people out with the cute.
It sounds like that they had a lot of really unique stuff there that you don't typically see.
Yeah, typically, so they have. I mean, there is an industry presence. Like, you do have Biz, you do have Aniplex, you do have Daisuke. Just chilling around. But then again, you also have like just a lot of these places that have plushies, figures, and just like just some rare oddities. Like there was this one booth that like had like the old Sailor Moon toys. I'm like, whoa. And these weren't like replicas. These were like the ones from straight out of the 90s. So you also had like for like hardcore collectors, you also had those type of things.
Man, that's cool.
I picked up another Kantai figure.
Ah, yes.
My fleet is growing. It shall destroy everything.
Do they have a figure at all of the American ship of Iowa?
Not yet. They actually did release a prototype of the Figma for Iowa that over at the whatever Japanese toy trade show there was a couple weeks ago.
Yes, but
Iowa is underway, and Warspite was just released the weekend of Otakon in the game. So yeah, ever growing for more foreign shipness.
Yeah. Ship-ships.
Ship-ships.
Mm-hmm. So,
I ship my ship with that ship.
Yeah. Poi. Anybody have one last highlight that they want to, like, or low light?
This was a really mixed event for me, so it's really hard for me to be all super excited. I mean, there's some nice people I met, but there's some... You know what? I'll do it with the low light. There are certain cosplayers from certain series that are total jerks, and they need to stop it. Just stop
it. Does it rhyme with Shmeevan Shmoondiverse?
No. Well, yes, they are, but they are. I don't run into cosplayers from that series too often. I've only heard their Tumblr stories, which bother me significantly. But no. This is a series about girls. We'll just say it's a girl series, and the people who cosplay from it tend to be on the jerk side of things, and it's really getting to me.
Yeah, you find that, unfortunately, with a lot of like cosplay groups, they find that it's kind of, they make their own clique out of it. Cosplay is weird, man. Cosplay is weird, but
it is. I don't recommend it.
You'll never find that with the JoJo cosplayers.
Nope.
Because you can't find them. Except for Jared and...
Yeah, and like six other people.
Yeah. JoJo cosplayers, you can't see me.
Yeah. So, in that case, what would you give it on a scale of 1 to 10? This year. Not the con itself, but this year.
For me, I think this is like a 6. Mm. It was still above average. You know, there's still some decent panels, decent programming, decent guests. It's just my personal experience was not that great with just the crowding inside the convention center, the attitude of some of the cosplayers, you know, the fact that some of the really interesting panels are put in such tiny rooms that, you know, unless you could, I don't know, transform into like the size of an ant, unless you were Ant-Man, you were not getting into that room. So, you know, it's just things like that are kind of just ruined my experience a little bit. But it wasn't like a bad con. Like, I've been to plenty of cons worse than this. Plenty of cons worse than this.
You've been on the scale of 1 to 10, 5, 4s, 3s.
Yes.
Such is the life of a professional.
Yep.
One of my highlights of this con was, I worked with like a lot of amazing photographers for cosplay private photo shoots. Shave yep. Photo, the Otakon Photo Suite, which is a service that the con does provide if you want to get some cosplay photos of yourself. And they can also mail you like... poster size versions of your photos. And
whoa, that's really awesome. Cool. Yeah.
Yeah, I just posted on my Instagram of my poster size Nico cosplay that I took. So that's an amazing service that they have. But I feel very honored to be working with like a lot of very talented photographers on the East Coast that the West Coast usually doesn't get, because I notice like on the West Coast there tends to be this mentality that only that photographers, they want to take pictures of, like, to put it bluntly, people who fit a certain standard of beauty for Hollywood.
Yes.
I've been noticing that a lot out on the West Coast, and I'm like, yeah, whatever. But here at an Otakon, it's like, yeah, we'll take your photo. And I've been
working of course
with,
we will.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, just amazing, like, just talented people, and just also just kind of, like, just making friends in the process. It's more, at the end of the con, it's more like, yeah, let's be friends, let's keep in touch. Like, oh, I hope we had a nice Otakon. It's kind of like the end of the school year where you're all signing off your yearbooks, and you're making all these friends, and you want to keep in touch. And the way you do that is just to keep in touch through Facebook. And I really like that feeling that, like, people actually want genuine friendship after the con's over, because the norm mentality right now with cons is like, hey, like my Facebook page, blah blah blah. I'm like, okay, yeah, whatever promotions. But as someone who doesn't really get to meet like a lot of nerdy otaku-ish people in their daily lives, like, I like to keep in contact with people who like the same things as I do before I go back to work in the same basic bitch work environment.
And for East Coast photographers, we would like to plug one of our good friends at Flash Cord Photography, Anthony. If you want some cool cosplay photos, go contact Anthony over at Flash Cord Photography.
And I will be writing him a shout out on the Scarlet Rhapsody page, because we also do review photographers that we've worked with, so we can make recommendations for cosplayers who are looking for photographers to work with. Because not gonna lie, there are some sketchy photographers out there that won't ever give you back your photos, even if you put some money down for it. So what we want to do with this section of Scarlet Rhapsody is to talk about photographers like Flash Cord Photography that actually do deliver on their services, and they do deliver at the standard at which they charge.
Wonderful. That sounds great.
So scale of 1 to 10 for you?
I would give this year a 7.
Yep.
I really did enjoy this year, but there were like a lot of hiccups along the way. Like, well, I can't blame Otakon for the weather. I can't blame them for like controlling the heat. But
how dare they?
Yeah. Like, Otakon like has a weather department. Like, I will control the weather.
Make the sky hotter.
You're so close to the president. Just ask him.
Yeah. You know, on that note, I have heard that Destro has joined Otakorp, so we may actually get a weather dominator next year.
There was a lot of great positive things about the con, but like Jared said earlier, like, there were like just some issues along the way that weren't like at the con's fault, like the weather, the fact that we got crappy service at the Hilton Lobby Bar. This is like the first time ever I had to yell at management to like get me some goddamn service, because
jeez.
Wow. No, it was terrible. And then like I had to. It's funny Sweet. because I also ran into that personality type like with Otakon. Well, not Otakon security personnel, but with Baltimore convention staff personnel. There was like this certain personality type of like passive aggressive bitchiness.
Well, thank you for discussing that with us, guys, giving us the Otakon update.
Yeah, I still very much want to visit Otakon.
Yeah, and I'm really interested in seeing what it's going to be like when in its first year at Washington.
When it leaves the shoreline.
Yeah, right?
We should maybe look into going next year.
Yeah.
Hotel reservations go up in 5 days.
Holy so... crap! Oh, come on!
I don't know if I can swing that.
I'll stay with the president. Yeah.
President Andrew W.K.
President Andrew W.K.
You'll stay in the red room where Abraham Lincoln haunts that room.
I'll hang with Abe.
He's having a party with Abe.
Yeah.
Steampunk party in the red room.
Chopping pizza with an axe, with a fire axe. Yeah. I gotta emancipate this pizza, yeah!
Something very important happened this week, of the week of this recording, only a couple days ago.
You got engaged.
Well, yes, but much, much more important than that, which is Ding Dong, the Witch is Dead, Bleach is finally ended.
Bleach ended, yeah. Now,
years so after Kubo wanted to finish the series.
Yes. Did anybody read the ending to Bleach?
Yeah, I can't believe Ichigo died of syphilis at the end.
Stop spreading lies.
Stop spoiling it, Evan.
Yeah. So, I think at this point, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you guys want to not be spoiled, skip, like, I don't know, 2-3 minutes ahead, because I'm just going to say it.
Yeah.
Real quick. Here we go. Starting here. Skip ahead about 3 minutes. Rukia and Renji get married. Ichigo and Orihime get married. Chad is a professional boxer. Uryu is a professional doctor, and Ichigo and Orihime work at his hospital.
Everybody else, we know zero about.
They just push them completely aside. The only thing we know that happened that advanced the character build was Rukia is now a captain. And
good for her.
Orihime and Ichigo have a son, and Rukia and Renji have a daughter. And they bump into each other at the end, and Rukia's daughter has this, like, haha, I'm a Shinigami, complex, like, I'm above you. And Ichigo's son is just like, oh, hey, so am I, in, like, this happy-go-lucky kind of a way, and then it ends.
Yay, they have a meet-cute. Huzzah.
Yeah, so they meet each other the same exact way Ichigo and Rukia met each other, only... Ichigo's son is already a Shinigami because his powers got passed off to his son.
Yeah, the ending was so rushed.
So I'm happy because I know that he could care less about Bleach. Like, you could tell, like, because every single chapter...
About 1,000 chapters ago.
Yeah, every single chapter ended the same exact way, which was somebody gets hurt, somebody goes into a special move. Somebody gets hurt, somebody goes into a special move. Somebody gets hurt, somebody goes into a special
move. Don't forget the tornado cloud that happens and then a bad guy just suddenly appears in the tornado cloud.
You haven't seen... Yeah, Kenpachi disappeared 40 chapters ago and you never see him again. Yuroichi meets up with her brother... who shows up for one chapter and then you never see them again.
Yep.
They introduce characters and you never see them again.
Here's the thing too, about the ending. Like, Chad, he said at the very beginning of the series that he would never use his grandfather told him, which he promised, he would never use his fist for wealth or
to
violence.
To hurt people, rather.
Right, to hurt people. Right. And now he's a professional boxer. He's using it for fame and money.
What? So I will say, with how much Kubo could care less about Bleach, it's the best he could do with making it a happy ending, with at least being like, yes, Renji and Rukia get together, and so do Orihime and Ichigo. That's all anybody ever wanted, minus the characters that I like the best.
Which leads me into our Waifu Watch discussion today.
Yes. There's really nothing more we can discuss about the ending other than that all the fans really hate it. I'm happy I'm happy with it because it's just
Kubo's
an ending.
Kubo's suffering has ended.
Yeah.
My ending sounds better than that.
So now we're going to go into Waifu Watch, because I got to say, Bleach was actually, besides Naruto, Bleach was one of my first shonen animes that I went into when I first got into anime.
Yep. And it had just started, too. The anime, the anime had just started.
We literally started, Adult Swim, and it premiered. It was on the second episode. So Bleach actually holds a pretty special place in my heart. I'm actually playing the mobile game right now, Bleach Brave Souls. It's really fun, guys. If you like if you like mobile gaming, which you shouldn't because it's addicting, Bleach is really fun because you get to play as any Bleach character you want, and it's great. And I still haven't unlocked Yoruichi, which will lead us into Waifu Watch.
Here's the thing is, that was the reason I actually liked what was it called, Soul Resurrection, because it was basically Dynasty Warriors, but Bleach, and you could play as whoever you wanted to, so you could just go around as Kenpachi just murdering the hell out of people. It's awesome.
I love Kenpachi. Kenpachi's one of my favorite Bleach characters.
Yes.
It sucks that. Did you hear about, I can't remember, do you know his, what happened? He actually achieved Bankai? Like, you know, there was that whole thing with him never talking to his sword and stuff like that?
Yeah. I had not heard that. I thought that was a fan thing.
Nope. So his sub captain Yachiru, the little girl with the pink hair,
mm-hmm.
that's actually his sword. He'd never talked to his sword for so long that
it manifested itself,
and that was actually his.
So you mean that stupid filler arc from the anime is like legit?
I didn't get that far, where the swords became living
creature people and hung out with the Shinigami for a story arc because they were out of ideas.
Oh, I didn't know about that, actually. So Yachiru the whole time has been Kenpachi's Bankai, and only specific people could see her. That was the whole thing. So Kenpachi achieved his Bankai to defeat that, and she's been like, Kenny, like, I've been here the whole time, you know, and... Hmm. That was actually a really cool reveal, and then they did nothing with it.
Yeah, except for the part, he said, Kenny, I've been here the whole time, except for the part where Ichigo beat him in a fight, and he tried talking to his
sword. Yeah, and yeah, he's just like, can I, like...
At the beginning of the series, they could have revealed it at the beginning of the series.
Yeah, is it too late? But it wouldn't have been as cool.
No, yeah, definitely wouldn't have. Anyways, Waifu Watch.
Yes.
I went on Tumblr the day after Chapter 686 of Bleach was released, and oh my gosh, it was the funniest thing ever. If you read people's reviews of the last chapter of Bleach, it's the funniest thing.
Just do a quick...
On Tumblr. Everybody is so pissed off about the fact that Ichigo and Rukia did not get together.
I like that pairing. I thought that was going to happen. Yeah.
So am I the only one in this group who was an Ichigo or a Hime?
I have friends in that category, but I don't think anyone else here is in that category.
I was always in that category.
So here's the thing. Orihime was always in love with Ichigo, but Ichigo never really in the series showed the same sentiment.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas Rukia and Ichigo had this kind of kindred spirits relationship. But the thing is, from the really early series, right when you meet Renji, you learn Renji's backstory with Rukia and how he's just like, I have to save Rukia. You know, and you kind of get this vibe, and I only relearned this from playing the mobile game, because they replay all the anime in the mobile game mm-hmm. through the story mode, and I was just like, oh yeah, Rukia and Renji were really, really close, and like...
They were friends.
And Renji really has it bad for Rukia, kind of. But I was always a fan of Rukia and Ichigo.
Well, I think part of this is because Kubo is not particularly good at writing kind of relationship stuff. He's really good at writing action and drawing really fashionable clothes, but he's not particularly good at like writing the relationship stuff. So essentially it's we establish this one little trope about these two characters, and then we're never really going to mention it again because they're going to go up and punch like ghosts in the face.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. That is hitting the nail right on the head. Okay.
I was an Orihime Totsuki, whatever her name was, Totsuki or whatever, shipper. I shipped the two of them, so...
Oh, like a Yuri shipping?
Yeah.
But the thing about that is Orihime was clearly, like, all in for Ichigo.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But waifus.
Yeah, I brought this up because Orihime is my pick. I have always had a crush on Orihime.
I'm actually in the same boat as you. Orihime was my favorite, too.
I found her annoying.
See, I think that was what was so endearing about her. I actually liked how annoying she was in that series.
And it was a cute kind of annoying. It wasn't an annoying kind of annoying.
I have a certain, like, degree where, like, after a certain point, like, the annoyance level gets a little too high for me, and I'm like, oh, shut up.
Yeah.
And there's several points in the manga where I'm like, oh, Hime, shut up.
Yeah. Well, granted, I only watched the anime until the beginning of the third season, then I stopped, so it was still, it probably hadn't overflown for me yet.
And yeah, I'm a manga person, so the way I have people's voices in my head, you know, one, makes it difficult to watch the anime, and two, just kind of sets a certain tone of how I view certain characters. Like, to me, the way I read Uryu in the beginning was as a badass, and then when you get to a certain point, you realize, no, he's just a whiny bitch of a bow. Damn it.
Yeah, no, yeah,
I thought you were going to be all, like, Hawkeye, but instead you're, like, Green Arrow.
Yeah,
damn it's kind
of... Oh, those are fighting words. Oh, man.
Because technically, actually, Hawkeye is the bitch because he's, like, whiny and actually almost gets killed a bunch of times.
It really depends who's writing them, because I always think back to, like, late 90s, early 2000s Green Arrow, where all he wants to do is, like, bitch and moan.
Yeah, but then he's the only person in the DC universe.
Oh my gosh, let's not discuss
who
this.
Who killed a supervillain?
No, he's had his moments, but the points where I think of the character are not the highlights of that character. But the ways I think of, like, Hawkeye are usually the highlights of that character.
Oh my gosh, Waifu Watch.
Right. So not Uryu. Okay,
not Uryu,
gotcha.
Yes. So for me, it's clear. Like, the choice is clear. I've always had this huge thing for Yoruichi. Like, Yoruichi is probably top tier, like, almost number one on my list as far as waifus go. Always had a crush on Yoruichi. And I think the rival second for Waifu Watch as far as Bleach goes is Rukia.
Rukia's a pretty good choice.
I love Rukia.
I feel like that Rukia, if not being the first choice, is everybody's second choice.
Yeah.
You know?
But no, yeah, so...
Apparently same with Ichigo.
Yeah, no, so. But Yoruichi, like, I always love my dark-skinned anime girls.
Badass ninjas.
Yeah, one, ninja, two, yeah. dark skin, three, fighting.
Could kick your ass.
Yeah, I really like Yoruichi, but no, Rukia has the tomboy cute feature that I really like.
I really want to hear, like, a husbando or something.
Yeah.
Kaimi? Yeah, you got a Bleach husbando there?
Yeah. Not quite. Bleach wasn't really mine to, like, ship people or have, like, anime crushes from. But if I were to, like, if we were to talk about shipping wars, I ship Orihime and that leak.
It took a second.
Orihime and the leak.
I processed that for a little bit too long, and then I was just like, I got it.
Well, it did start one of the greatest memes of all time,
and like made the Livian Polka famous. Like, now the Livian Polka is so famous,
and Korpiklaani did it.
Korpiklaani did the best cover of it.
Okay,
Finnish folk metal version of the Ilvian Polka.
Evan, who are we fighting over?
We're fighting over Orihime.
Yes, we are. Okay.
Do you have a second?
I actually don't, because none of the other girls I didn't really like as much on Bleach. Orihime just stood out for me.
High five forever. Yeah.
Yes, yes, yeah.
Well, because then if you want to go my route, too, with, like, dark-skinned girls, there's always Haribel.
Oh. And another one for you, underboob.
Haribel has plenty of underboob.
Because
underboob is sexy. Nobody cares about cleavage. Everybody likes the underboob.
Okay, Jared.
Okay, I'm the outlier here, which is always awesome. Even though she is also incredibly annoying, I always had a kind of a thing for Matsumoto. Can't help it. Too much up top, too much long hair.
Wait, who's this one?
Matsumoto.
Captain.
Vice Captain Matsumoto.
Captain Boobs.
Yeah.
Oh, you're talking about Rangiku.
Yeah. She has the last name, you know.
Yes, I know, but I'm sorry, but I only know them by their first names.
Oh, see, I read the manga, so everyone was called by their last names.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I know. And everybody calls Orihime Inu and...
Inoue.
Inoue, yeah.
Just call Orihime a bitch.
We are fighting.
Wow.
We are fighting.
Inu means dog, I know. Yeah, Rangiku. Yeah, she is pretty popular.
She is, but I mean, like, beyond that, I mean, I did find her a little bit more annoying. If we're going to go for the ones I always kind of had secondary feelings for, but they were so minor characters that no one ever cared about them. Vice Captain Nanao Ise would always be on there. For those who don't know, she is the chick with the glasses who follows around the dude with the straw hat. Yeah.
Yes. I know exactly who you're talking about.
I always liked her. She just that serious glasses, you know. And
yeah, the serious, mature glasses girl type.
And when you put her into another point of it, of her captain was one of those guys that kind of felt like me sometimes. There's just the whole like, do I have to be serious about this, or can I just take a nap and let someone else do this?
Yeah, I think that he had such a minor role in the series, but he was probably my favorite captain.
Who?
The Straw Hat. I don't know his name.
Oh, really?
It's been so long.
But
Sushi.
You're literally just naming, you're like doing kanjis. He was my favorite, though, always.
His name is Shinsui Kyoraku. Stupid names in the series. That
Straw Hat Captain. Yeah. Straw Hat Captain.
The drunk guy.
And then my other one, which is always disturbing to people, but I don't care, is Nemu. That is creepy science captain's vice captain.
Yes.
I like Nemu. I know she's like super quiet and submissive and whatever, and she's an outlier for me, even for me, because like I hate Rhea and Ami, and I generally hate that personality type. But Nemu has such like a thing behind her eyes that you realize that there's something deeper and darker there, and that's always interested me. But nothing was ever done with it because she's just kind of. Doesn't she and her captain do like nothing throughout the most of the series? So
pretty much.
So it's like I always had an interest in her because I'm like, there's something darker and awesome inside you, and I know you're probably like a female clone of that captain, and I want to know your backstory. I'm like, I have like an X-23 fascination with her of like, I need to know more about you, and I kind of have a slight attraction to you, but I need to know like what is the weirdness inside you, because that's more fascinating to me. But Nanao and Matsumoto would definitely be my two people more than anyone else.
I totally agree with that.
But dude, I totally respect the Yorichi. Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Like, she's not my waifu, but hell yeah. I would totally go for that.
Yeah. Hey, I know. I told you she's my waifu.
Yeah.
Oh man. Yeah. All right. I love this discussion. I'm so glad one of our fans was just like, you guys got to talk about this. Like, you guys got to do this as a project. It's so fun.
All right. So, fare thee well to Bleach. Good luck in Valhalla. Sit at the table and feast.
Yes.
Okay.
Feast. Oh my gosh, poor Bleach. I'm so. I still want to finish it. I still want to finish it. At least the anime. I at least want to go anime. So yes. I think we, because we still have to do what we're watching. Right?
Let's do a very short what we're watching.
And like everybody just pretty much say what they're watching. Say like one sentence about it, and that's pretty much all we can do. Unfortunately, this
time. What we're watching. I started watching a new anime this season. Called 91 Days.
Yep.
It is like a Quentin Tarantino mafia flick. So good. Really tense scenes that lead into explosive gunfights. There's like this really weird, cool, weird characters who are bootleggers or moonshiners.
Yep.
And they want to sell to the mafia to make money so that they can get revenge on the mafia, which is awesome.
That does sound really awesome.
Yeah, I only watched the first episode, and the first episode was bananas.
That was longer than one sentence, but it interested me.
Yeah. So. One last thing about it is that the ending theme to it is like, I think it's like the exact same thing that they did for Outlaw Star. Which one's the one with just the girl spinning around going, na 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 na.
That's Outlaw Star.
Yeah. Yeah, it's like the exact same thing as Outlaw Star. Because it's just a girl humming in the credits.
Interesting. All I'm going to say is I'm almost done with Keen Moza. And the fact that there's an OVA coming out for it.
And Crunchyroll has it.
Yeah, Crunchyroll has it. I'm excited.
Okay, the only thing I actually watched in the last time since I've been on the show was Gundam the Origin dub version. Which the dub is, like most modern dubs, massively mixed, because you have some clear veterans in there who sound really great.
Yep.
And you have some like newbies who sound terrible. The kids' voices for Shayla and Char, which is not their like original names, but whatever, who cares, that's what you'd know them as, are very like adults trying to do child's voice and not quite succeeding.
Yes.
Yep. But Rambaral and Haman are so bad. I forget how badass they were in that. So rewatching it, I'm like, oh my god, I love like young Ramba and Haman and how badass they are. And I'm like, I need to watch the rest of this. And they premiered episode 3, which unfortunately did not get an SRO crowd, which made me sad. I'm like, oh, no one wants to come in and see episode 3 of Gundam the Origin with a dub.
Oh, sad.
And then I ended up leaving for lunch. So,
Okay, so you hear this? This is a Blu-ray of a show I've been waiting 2 years to come out.
Okay.
Barakamon.
Yes! Okay. Yeah. I want it so bad, and I didn't purchase it yet.
Obama's
yet.
A Pokemon?
Yes, it has Idris Elba in it.
But yes, Barakamon. It's finally out on Blu-ray. Buy it. One of the best shows of the last, like, few years.
I can concur. Barakamon is one of my favorites from the past. Oh my gosh, it was one of... Oh, it's so good! Watch Barakamon! Yeah, it's on DVD now, granted, you have no excuse.
It was number 20 on my top anime of the last 10 years, but keep in mind, that's 20 out of all the hundreds upon hundreds upon hundreds of anime that's come out in the last 10 years.
Okay, I finally saw the Love Live movie after all this time. I was supposed to watch... Yeah, I was supposed to watch it like last year when it came out, when they did a theater tour. But I think what I really liked about this movie is like the first third of it, when they're just running around New York and they just really capture like New York City as accurately and almost as screen accurate as possible. Because I see like a lot of anime that takes place in the West, like, oh, we're in this city in the United States, and it just feels so generic. But when you actually see some of the buildings, like, you know it's Times Square, you know it's the Rockefeller Center, you know it's the Brooklyn Bridge. So I really like all the attention to detail that they had in there, and it's just fun to see like the girls just kind of like run around New York too. So that was a lot of fun.
You know, I really still want to see that movie.
It's
I
a great movie, but I feel like they should have done more within New York. I feel like the majority of the movie should have been New York.
It should have been
a cool concept.
It would have been. It should have been Honoka Lost New York, and I would have been happy.
Great. That is perfect for what we're watching. Let's move on to our topic, which, in celebration of Andrew and I's birthday, which was supposed to be the day of this recording, but we did it a day before because we are very busy on our birthday. We are going to talk about anime characters who share our birthday.
Yes.
Now, I know that out there is a, if you just Google search anime character birthdays, there's a Google Doc out there for free that you can just open right up, look at the calendar, go to your birthday, and find out who's there, and they tell you what their series is.
I found something even better, guys. If you type into Google anime birthday database,
they have it.
And the first link is to Anime News Network, and Anime News Network did an article on this, which brings you to a website, and the website has calendar dates that you can actually just scroll through. The website's in Japanese, but it's half Japanese and half English. So you can still scroll through it. So here I am in August. I'm going to click on August 21st, which is Jonathan and I's real birthday, in case you want to steal our identity.
and our social security numbers are.
And there it is. August 21st, Leo. 33 character birthdays.
What? Are you serious?
So we have 33 characters that we share a birthday with.
Okay, the doc that I found only had 5. One was from Saint Seiya and one was from K-On.
Yep, and here it is. Sojiro Izumi from Lucky Star.
I'm happy with that.
Yep. Momo Iwaka.
You're not going to read all 33, Iwakai, are you?
I might.
No.
I
just look for good ones.
Look for good ones. We have Sound Euphonium. That
was like
who from Naruto? Who from Naruto?
Kaiza from Naruto.
I don't know who that is.
Quick, Google search it.
Google search
who's Kaiza.
Listen, the one that I found that I thought was the most interesting was the girl who is the drummer from K-On! Has the same birthday as us.
Really?
Yeah. So we have a moe character.
We do have a
we
moe
got a moe character.
So yes, look up Kaiza from Naruto. Oh, I don't know that guy.
Okay.
I don't know that guy. Yeah, okay, so from K-On! 1991. She is 1 year younger than us.
That's funny.
August, right, Ritsu Tainaka.
Hey, speaking of which, in real life, we found out a long time ago, back when Heroes, the live-action show American Heroes, was actually good, which was season one, Save the Cheerleader, Save the World. Hayden Panettiere, who played the cheerleader, is exactly 1 year older than
fun
us.
Fun fact. Wow, there are 3 Gintama characters so far that share... What? What? 1921, The Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh? Winnie the Pooh?
What?
We should have said birthdays, Winnie the Pooh! Yeah!
Oh, bother.
Higurashi When They Cry. We share the same birthday as Rika.
What?
She's in a hardcore anime panel. That.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
That is so exciting. A character in the hardcore anime panel shares the same birthday as us.
Anybody else have any good ones?
Just so everybody knows, the website that I am on,
I'll link it in the description.
Yeah, this is for the audience. Is S-C-H-A-R-A, Shara, .sunrockgo, sunrockgo.com. So shara.sunrockgo.com.
All right, so let's see. I have it with Inuzuka Kuma from Valrave the Liberator. I share it with Vanessa from The King of Fighters, which, by the way, King of Fighters 14 just came out. Fantastic right. fighting game.
Oh my gosh, I forgot about that. Gotta get it.
Yes, it's better than this. I think it's better than Street Fighter V.
It might be.
Oh, are you serious?
Ooh.
Dude, there are 50 fighters in King of Fighters 14 at the start.
Yes, that's a very good point.
Mm-hmm.
It is very King of Fighters to do that.
Let's see. I share it with Kaede Kayano from Assassination Classroom, one of my favorite characters, actually, from that series, with Satoshi Usugi from Eden of the East.
Oh, right.
That's cool.
That is cool.
Oh, I got one shared with a One Piece character, the one that goes by the name of Pickles. I don't know which one that one is, honestly.
Pickles the drummer, doodly-doo, ding-dong, doodly-doodly-doo.
If that is true, then that is amazing.
Did any of you ever read Rave Master?
I've heard of it.
Yeah.
The character of Pusia from Elemental Gerard. There's Felice Concord.
Gallade. Elemental
Gallade. Just as a side note, the Four Kids dub of Rave Masters, Real Big Fish did the opening.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't Four Kids. It was the Tokyo Pop dub, technically.
Oh.
But yeah, I have the full version of the theme song on my phone.
It's by good. Real Big Fish.
It is a good song.
It's so good.
And they've never played it live.
I know.
Like the only ones that really stick out for me. Oh, Haku from Naruto.
I think there's so many Naruto characters that I'm pretty sure everybody's gonna share a birthday with at least one character.
Yeah.
Let's find out. Who's next?
Okay, I guess I can go. All right,
yeah, go
so
for it.
I'm August 8th, and I already knew that, like, I have, like, quite a few anime characters that share the same birthday. Like, off the top of my head, Hikaru from Magic Knight Rare Earth. She's actually my worst girl in Rare Earth. It's all about me. Delandel from Escaflowne, which is awesome in itself. And Nanami from Revolutionary Girl Utena. So I'm on the website. I was actually referencing another website earlier, and I have to use, like, Google Translate to just kind of navigate it through. just a couple of highlights. Kuroko's basketball, Alexandra Garcia. Who the heck is
awesome.
That?
Awesome. Do you have basketball superpowers, too?
Yes. Gundam Seed, Yazak Jewel.
Izak. Yeah, he's one of the evil boy band pilots.
Nice.
Okay. Naruto, some guy named Gully. Ooh, Cinderella Girls, Madara Kiba.
Oh my god, I just got the coolest birthday character ever. I'm sorry, I'm scrolling through the list. I just saw one of the coolest characters ever is on my list.
Hang on.
We're prepared.
No, I'm saving my card for saving the best for last because it will
hurt
everyone. But this is one's for Evan from Barakamon, Shirakawa Yuriko.
Really?
Oh cool. Nozaki from Monthly Girls Nozaki-kun.
Are you serious? Yeah. Oh, that's amazing.
some guy named Luo from Samurai Deeper Kyo. Pocket Monster is Red. But that's not
what?
The best.
Are you serious?
Yes, I'm serious. Red from Pocket Monsters.
By the way, I have a Pocket Monsters protagonist as well on my list.
Are you
serious? And, like I said, I saved the best for last. From Kantai Collection, Yamamoto.
Oh my god.
Yamamoto.
Oh wow. Do you have a birth year for that too? Is that like 1940s? Or?
Yeah, 1940 for Yamato.
That's amazing.
So amazing.
That is amazing.
Which explains a lot about me. But anywho.
last but not least, we got Jared. Go for it,
okay,
man.
I have a ton of things. I'll get the obligatory Naruto one out of the way. I have Tombo Tobitake, whoever the hell that is. But
Toby?
It might be Toby, actually. Oh, good. Then I'm the supervillain of everything. but I want to go through, because I have some amazing characters on my list. I just need to scroll up, because I've been trying to read through the, like, 80 or so characters that are on here, but off the top of my head, one the character who made me go, oh my gosh, which was then followed by an even bigger oh my gosh that I have somehow suppressed, Kurapika from Hunter x Hunter, which actually I already kind of knew when I was reading Hunter x Hunter. I saw that and I was like, oh my god, Kurapika, the most coolest character in the story. But the one I hinted at, Pokemon Special, Diamond.
Wow.
Even more awesome, and sign that I have to cosplay this character. I'm going to double check it now because otherwise my heart will explode because I need to make sure I read it right. From JoJo's Bizarre Adventures, Part 1, Jonathan Joestar.
No! Wow! Are you serious? Nice. Are you kidding me?
I share a birthday with Jonathan freaking Joestar. Oh. And really, with those three, I could end the list. But one of the sillier ones I saw, and no one's going to get this except for me because I reviewed the series and watched it legitimately before I reviewed the series, from Tenshi no Shippo, or Angel Tales, I have the same birthday as Tsubasa the Parrot. For those who don't know, the series is like this guy had like 12 pets and they all died but became angels. Yeah. And then are like a pseudo harem, but they can't love him because if they love him, they die again because dumb rules for anime. And it's I hate the main character in that one because he let 12 of his pets die.
Yeah, right? I know, seriously. Yeah,
it's not like he's like 50, and it's like, okay, well, you know, he's had a lot of pets over the years. No. He's like awesome. 18, and he's had like 12 dead pets, and I'm like, no, screw you. You're a horrible person.
Wait, what was that? Like,
you should not take care of living things, good sir.
But another crazy one from, oh god, I can never pronounce this right. Bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo.
Yes. Oh, no, it's bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo-bo.
That one.
Yeah.
J. It's just the letter J.
Jared? Could it be Jared? Is that what it stands for?
It's Jared, but yeah.
I cross-dimensioned into that series. That's right. It's pretty awesome.
Well, that's a fun little activity.
That was really fun. So
I imagine that a lot of people who are listening to this episode are going to be like scrolling through their birthdays as they go through. And I want to hear, everybody who's listening, please email us your best birthday match.
I know,
let us know.
We've had
Winnie the Pooh,
Jonathan Joestar,
yeah.
Red, like, what the heck, guys? Like, that was really successful.
Yeah, I didn't know we had that many. I thought we only had the five that showed up, and so that makes me feel a lot better about this activity.
Yeah, this website is really cool because it keeps it updated.
Yeah.
Like, it updates with it, and it's half English, half Japanese, so that's pretty neat.
Yeah.
So, check out that website. We'll link it in the description, and you guys can take a look and let us know yourselves.
Yeah. Happy birthday, everybody.
Happy birthday. It's actually our birthday.
Yeah,
so,
it's our birthday.
Oh.
Everybody congratulate us. We're important. It's our show, too. Congratulate us. Clap. Right. Time for some fan service.
Time for some fan service.
And we got one.
We
have one.
It comes from a half-Wicked fan,
Nerdy Show member.
Yeah, half Nerdy Show cohort now. Congratulations, Sean. What does Sean say?
Well, he wanted to update us on Ladybeard. Like, he wanted to let us know what Ladybeard was doing, because we talked about it in the last episode. Evan, you were majorly right about it. He's really just doing the persona gimmick thing of being the cross-dressing cool guy.
Yep.
Did you know he also has a DVD called Justice Fight?
No.
Yeah, he has a DVD documentary called Justice Fight. He still performs music. He does kawaii core, and he also does, he does metal anime openings. Like, that's what his show is now, pretty much, is he does metal anime opening parodies. And he also does songs like,
that's pretty awesome.
Moonlight Densetsu. And then he also does things like Justin Bieber's Baby. So he's doing stuff like that, and, still doing the wrestling thing, maybe? I don't know. The reason why Sean knows this is because Lady Beard was at Animathon in Edmonton, Canada. So he actually got the last copy of his DVD Justice Fight while he was there, and he got to talk to him. He said he was a really cool guy.
I'm so jealous, Sean.
Yeah, it is pretty. It's a pretty cool thing. So jealous of you. Thank you for sending us the information.
You have to, when the next time you visit us in the States, you bring that DVD with you, and
yeah,
we will
watch
it.
We're gonna watch it. Absolutely. Cool. So that's all we have.
Yeah, all the other fan service was shared during the show.
Yeah, pretty much.
News articles. So thank you very much, guys. We love getting everything from you.
And with some shameless plugs. Yeah, with that, it's time for some shameless plugs. So if you guys want to join in on the conversation, please do. Just send us the birthday that you think is the craziest birthday that matches to yours. Send us the date, the name, the anime, everything. You can email us at wickedanimereviews@gmail.com. That's wickedanimereviews, all one word, @gmail.com. You can also find us at facebook.com/wickedanime, where we post news stories and you can chat with us there. All kinds of activity, updates on events, whatever. You can also find us over at nerdyshow.com/wickedanime, where we have both our podcast, which if you're not listening to it on SoundCloud or iTunes, you can find us there, like right on the website. It's great. You can also find our videos at nerdyshow.com, as well as YouTube, the main hub or starting point of Wicked Anime, and that's youtube.com/wickedanimereviews. You can also find us at any of the social meets. You can find us at Twitter and tweet us at @YoWickedAnime. You can find us at Tumblr, where we tumble things, at wickedanime.tumblr.com. And every once in a while, we may play a video game and record it at wickedanaplay@twitchtv.com. I think that's everything. So next up, even though Evan is kind of a part of, or is a part of the show now, congratulations.
Thank you.
We will say, where else can we find you, Evan?
Yes, you can find me on the Boss of Bass Brigade site and on Electric Sisterhood. So let me do my usual thing. So for the recent news, reviews, podcast episodes, and videos featuring members of the Boston Bastard Brigade, you can find us at www.b3crew.com. If you have any questions, comments, if you're in a band and want to be featured on the show, or if you have any questions for our friend Sawa Sensei for her novel, Nazo Nazo Nyongo segment, you can write to us at thebastards@bostonbastardbrigade.com. You can find me on Tumblr at b3crew.tumblr.com, on the Anime Amino, Video Game Amino, and J-Pop Amino at KingBabyDuckESH, on Twitter at King_Baby_Duck, and on Twitch at twitch.tv/OmnistryInc. Be sure to like us on Facebook.com/Boston Bash Brigade and on Facebook.com/Land of Esh. And also, don't forget about all the other sites under the Land of Esh, including The Electric Sisterhood, Phil's Recap and Review, Smash Rook, and Nerd Crave. And I also hope that you guys enjoy the new theme song for No Borders or Race. Andrew and Jonathan took a listen to it the other day, and I think that it has their approval.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You can read our con reports. You can listen to our podcast on scarlet-rhapsody.com. We are on Facebook as Scarlet Rhapsody. Definitely hit that like button to get the latest updates when we have our podcast and our con reports up. And our Otakon photos are now online, so feel free to bag and tag your friends. And Jared, would you like to promote some of the stuff that you do for Scarlet Rhapsody?
Yes, but first I have to offer a correction because I found out I clicked the wrong day and my birthday was completely wrong.
Oh,
and
it's not
nearly
as
epic.
It's not nearly as epic.
So sad.
Okay, so Tsubasa the Parakeet was right. But instead of any of those other cool characters, I have Conan Itagawa from Detective Conan.
Well, that's pretty cool. Yeah, that's actually, cool. That's really cool. That's really
I have Manami from My Little Sister Can't Be This Cute.
Oh!
And then, like, I have a bunch of minor characters from a bunch of other series that no one cares about. Oh, wait, I have a Shaman King character. And it's a character who has one name, so it's probably not anyone important. So, yeah, my birthday is not nearly as epic as Joestar and a Hunter x Hunter character, and I'm just going to go into my ball and cry.
But, Jared, what's your birthday again? State your birthday.
May 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah, it's the internet. Nobody has to know that you're incorrect.
That's true, but if someone, like, somehow mathed it out, then yeah. Be like, hey. You're a liar! You're a liar! I just wanted to be Jonathan Joestar. And I'm like, I know, I just wanted to be Jonathan Joestar. It's my bad. I'm glad it wasn't as epic as having Dio as my birthday, because then I'd have to, like, throw myself off a building.
Yeah. Oh, you thought it was your birthday, but it was me! Dio!
So, that all being said, you can, of course, hear my ramblings on Twitter at Jared the Greek, and you can check out some of our game streams for me and my buddies at Secret Stage Games. We are on everything. Just look for Secret Stage Games.
Excellent. With that, that's the end of episode 95. We have one major announcement for you guys right now that you're hearing right now. If you've stuck around for this long, You will learn. Are we going to just tell a hint at what it is, or are we going to say what it is?
Oh, no. I think we should tell everybody, because we have time to prepare for it. And everybody... Because we prepared everybody for our last special.
Yep, that's right. So episode 100 of the Wicked Anime Podcast is looming among us. And what you guys don't know is episode 100 is already in production.
Yep.
And here's the reason why.
We recorded it like a year ago.
And we will be playing a game.
And what's the game?
It is Made. We are playing the role playing tabletop RPG Made. I am hosting it as the master of the household, and everybody else from the Wicked Anime Podcast and Nerdy Show are my maids. So join us,
and we have to please the master.
We have to please the master. So join us for the very special event for episode 100 of the Wicked Anime Podcast, where we actually went to the Nerdy Show studio in Orlando, Florida, and recorded in Cap's beautiful tiny room studio that was very hot.
Didn't have AC.
and we play this crazy fun...
so fun.
Role-playing system.
So much fun.
Yeah, really simple system, too. Character creation is a blast.
Yeah, it's random every time, and no matter what, you get a good character.
Yeah.
No matter what.
So join us in, find out what archetypes we got, find out how well we roll our characters, and just join us for the adventure for episode 100. Get excited. It's going to be great. We have, like...
I have to start editing
it. Yeah, it's... oh, the audio quality is beautiful, and it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun, guys. So look forward to that, just like our Besom campaign that we had so long ago.
Very long time ago. Yeah.
So with that, that's the end of this episode. Thank you so much to the members of Scarlet Rhapsody right here. So with that, we will sign off
the only
way we know how.
K-Bot!
Fans, write in. Tell us who the best Batman is.
It's Kevin Conroy.
It's actually Kevin Spacey. No, sorry.
Kevin Spacey!
I don't know where that came from. Who was I thinking of?
I don't know, but Kevin Spacey would be an awesome Batman. Not really, but it would be funny.
It would be a very funny Batman.
Oh, he was in Nine Lives.
That's right, what you're saying. Yeah, you're thinking of the Talking Cat movie. Yeah.
You're right. I always get my Talking Cat and Batman movies mixed up. That's... It's just a problem.
Thanks for listening to the Wicked Anime Podcast, presented by Nerdy Show. If you like what you heard, please rate and review on iTunes, or like and follow us on SoundCloud. As listener-supported entertainment, we rely on you to keep this and other shows on the Nerdy Show Network alive by telling a friend or funding the network via Patreon. Any size contribution gets you exclusive outtakes, episodes, and images from across the network. And there's even more perks available. Just head to patreon.com/nerdyshow. To find out how you or your company can underwrite this and other Nerdy Show programming, visit nerdyshow.com/sponsorships. You can subscribe to the Wicked Anime Podcast via iTunes and SoundCloud. Leave a comment, like and share, and follow Nerdy Show and Wicked Anime on all your favorite social networks. For more podcasts, articles, community forums, and other awesomeness, visit nerdyshow.com. If it's geeky, we've got it covered.